For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Tuesday morning service of December the 27th, 1994, of the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Earl Moore is the speaker for the morning.
I'm going to ask Brother Moore to just come right on up and minister, and then at the end of the service we'll make announcements and take care of the other needs of the, that needs to be taken care of. Brother Earl Moore.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands. Thank God because He loves us enough to speak into our spirit, speak into our hearts and lives this very day. Hallelujah. Lord, You're so real. Surely, O God, Thou rulest in the highest heavens. Thou rulest in the affairs of all men. Thou art God of heaven and earth. Lo, Lord, Thou hast condescended to come and dwell in the midst of Thy people. Lord, open now Thou our ears that we might hear more clearly the things that be of Thee, O God. That, O God, we might walk in the path that Thou hast ordained us to walk into. Lord, we turn not to the right hand nor to the left, but Lord, that we shall walk straight forward into the possessions that You declare as ours in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Great and mighty is our God. Hallelujah. Ear hath not really heard. It's not really entered our hearts all of the good, great things God's got prepared for those that love Him. Hallelujah. Even though the heavens declare the glory of the God, and the firmament showeth forth His handiwork, we still walk as stumbling Christians, not fully comprehending what the Spirit's trying to say to us. But God's going to have a people in this hour that's going to acquaint themselves with Him. And we need to get acquainted with Him. For it's they who do know their God that shall be strong and do exploits. God's going to take us out of the arena of spiritual magicians and bring us into the arena of real truth. Hallelujah. God doesn't need imitators. He doesn't need duplicators. He needs vessels that will yield that He can express Himself through. Hallelujah. He is tabernacled in us. He never ever left us. Hallelujah. While standing on top of the Mount of Ascension, speaking to His disciples, He said, "Lo, I am with you always. I will never leave you, not for 5 minutes, not for 10 days, not for 2,000 years. Hallelujah. And seemingly, paradox takes place. He had much more than spoke that. Then He steps behind a cloud and is gone. But see, He had said, "I go to the Father. I'm going to take this physical body that you see and make it spirit. I'm going into the omnipotent, omnipresent dimension that you can't comprehend." And in the power of that dimension, He walked with His disciples off of that mountain. He walked with them back to the upper room, and from the upper room to the temple where the Holy Ghost fell, not in the upper room. Luke said it was in the temple. Praise it. It had to happen in the temple to fulfill the pattern. Amen. And was there on the day of Pentecost where the miracle of miracles took place. God invaded humanity. Hallelujah. See, I ceased to be an ordinary person. I am now a temple. I am the house of the Lord. And He dwells here. And He dwells in your temple. And He wants to rule in that temple. And that's what deliverance is about, is to deliver this temple out of your hands into His hands. That He who is Lord of all might actually become Lord of all.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So you can take spirit, soul, and mind in the synonymous terms. It's all right here. It's in the mind. This is where the issues of life come from. Amen. And He's changing us to conform to His image. As we heard the Lord speak that we... Now, you will never become Him. Get that idea out of your head quick and fast. But you should be so full of Him, you might be mistaken for Him. Hallelujah. But you will never become omnipotent nor omnipresent. That dimension is His forever. But we are to awaken His likeness. You know, a lot of folks are waiting to see Him so they'll change. I like to invert that. When you finally get to be like Him, you'll be able to see Him.
Right.
Amen. And if you will let Him work in you to change you. Yes, we need to let Him work in us till we become enough like Him to see Him. See, everything is of like kind in the Bible. You know, ants don't go looking for bed bugs. Bed bugs don't go looking for roaches. You know, we can go through the whole insect, from the smallest insect to the greatest of animals. And when we are like Him, we will be able to find Him.
Hallelujah.
And God's changing us. And He has to change us. Let this mind be in you. That mind that will purge you and purge you out of you. That He might be Lord of all of you. From the top of your head to the sole of your feet. He may deliver you from every iniquitous thought. Glory to God. These are some things that He hath purposed in Himself from before the foundation of the world. See, He knew every detour man was going to take. See, He's the master builder. He declared the end from the beginning, in the beginning, and every detail from the beginning to the end. There's nothing that happens by happenstance. It happens by the plan of God. We read in the Bible where God told Moses one time to strike the rock and next time to speak to the rock. But He smote the rock the second time. People said, why did He miss the promised land for doing that? Of course, God knew He was going to do it. But see, our Savior was smitten at Calvary's cross. But the body of Christ should never have been smitten the second time. We should have went from Pentecost into eternal glory. But the church has been smitten and had to suffer. But we are still promised to come in to the eternal promises of God. Hallelujah. I want to minister this morning concerning a view of some of the things God hath in mind that has transpired and is about to transpire. Amen. And if you want to go with me to the book of Daniel, and I have a revised chart of Daniel's 70th weeks, and I want to go into the second chapter. I'm going to start in the 44th verse, and I'm going to go backwards a little bit. The reason I want you to understand, if God will give me the ability to reach your intelligence with this, it will do away with some error that has been among the evangelical realm for 200 years or better, that was propagated by Dr. Schofield, cartooned by Larkin, noted by Dake, and swallowed even by spirit-filled people. But it's time we go back to find out not what did Schofield say, nor Larkin drew. See, when at the turn of the century, and we had ministers coming into the spirit-filled dimension that really couldn't read nor write. And when Larkin come out with his cartoons, Dispensation of the Ages, it was easier to look at a picture than it was to read a book. And so without any question, they just swallowed the hook, line, and sinker. Amen. Just by way of who I am, I'm one of those Hoosiers. Somebody said, where in the world did they get the name Hoosier? Well, Indiana at one time was quite a French settlement. And they built log cabins and dotted the land of Indiana. And people would come up to the cabin and knock on the door. And the people inside would say, who is there? But they slurred it. Who's there? Who's there? Of course, people from Indiana are still accused of running their words together. Somebody said somebody was standing on the corner of one of the far cities, and two people were talking from Indiana. One said skeet, and the other said sko. Somebody said, what kind of a language is that? So that's a couple of Hoosiers talking. Well, what in the world did they say? Well, so the first one said, let's eat, and the other one said, okay, let's go. It's skeet and sko. So, but I've been blessed with a real heritage in the Lord. My mother and father were filled with the Holy Spirit before I was born. My mother was saved the second year after Azusa Street, filled with the Holy Spirit. My grandparents on both sides of my house, uncles and aunts and cousins, and we just begin to move into what God is speaking. And yet, I have found that all that we've come through and been through, and I was water baptized by the age of 6. I had the Holy Ghost time I was 8. Had an angelical visitation time I was 9 and a half. And started doing youth work time I was 14, 16 years of age. And have been ministering well over 50 years. And God is gracious. God is good. But I must confess to you tonight, we have not yet arrived.
Amen.
And I think we've encompassed this mountain long enough. And it's time now. I heard the word of the Lord. And I'm only capitalizing on that right now. It's time for us to know this change about to take place.
Yes.
A change is going to come so radical and so quick. It's going to amaze many people. And they're going to miss what God's doing. Just as much as other people have missed every fresh move of God. And you better let your prayer be, pass me not, O gentle Savior. While on others you're calling, don't pass me by. Don't let me miss what you planned. We are going to see the fulfillment of the word of the Lord to Moses. As surely as I live, the whole earth is going to be filled with my glory. As the word of the Lord has been spoke here, the knowledge of the Lord is going to cover the earth. It's going to start with this earth. And cover the whole earth as the waters cover the sea. Not only does that have surface, that has depth. A man that was sailing on a boat with a friend and pulled out at night. In the middle of the next day, he wakes up and goes out to the deck of the ship. And he looks out and he sees nothing but water every direction. And he said, one of the sailors that was on the boat, "Hi, what a lot of water." And he said, "Yeah, and this is just the top of it." And the Lord said, the knowledge of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So not only as far as you can see, honey, we're going to find waters to swim in.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Going to swallow us up. We're going to be digested by Him. Your life is going to become hid with Christ in God until your life won't even appear. Oh, moving from healings to divine health, divine life. Change. You should let the change start now. Don't wait for Gabriel to make a toot on the tutor to expect a change. We put him on now. We're changing now. Your mortal must be putting on immortality now. Your corruptible must be putting on incorruption now. Let's quit excusing ourselves that it's going to happen someday. Let's let it begin to work now. Let's expect it now. The deliverances that God's bringing in your life is not something to thrill you and make you have a chill for a moment and walk back to the same slop pot that you came out of.
Amen.
The Bible said it's like vomit on the tables. You don't go back to it. Amen. Walk away from it. Walk into what God has delivered you. Go from that, from glory to glory to glory, until you awake in His likeness. God never intended that man should try and, by his own volition, rule this earth. He expected man to take his words of authority from him. But in the transgression of Father Adam and the degradation of humanity, men begin to seek power within their own self. And the world entered into a time of empires. And in the midst of one of these world empires, by the name of Babylon, and the four great empires that was mentioned in the Bible are the empires that held God's people captive. Babylon was the first and the greatest. And while in the midst of this rulership, a young man who would not depart from the ways of the Lord became a great prophet, not only for his day, but yet for our day. A man by the name of Daniel. And God gave him a vision. God gave visions to the king. And Daniel was an interpreter of them. But in the second chapter of the book of Daniel, and the 44th verse, he's talking about these kings that Daniel has saw. And we read these words, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never," and I have the word "never" underlined in my Bible, "which shall never be destroyed. And this kingdom shall not be left to," now I want to say, "anybody else."
Amen.
No Antichrist. No world dictator.
Amen.
Not for 1 hour. Not for 3.5 years. Not for 7 years. I will never leave it to anybody else. Now the God of heaven said that. Amen. I don't care what any book says or preacher says. The book said it's not going to be left to nobody. Hallelujah. "But it," this kingdom that he's setting up, "shall break in pieces all of these kingdoms. And this kingdom that's being established by the Lord, it shall stand forever."
Hallelujah.
If we drop back a little bit, and he's speaking about the image that was being seen, that the king had beheld, in the 31st verse of the second chapter, "The old king saw and beheld a great image. This great image, whose brightness is excellent, and stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible." It wasn't the creation of God. Amen. "The image head was fine gold, the breasts were arms of silver, and the bellies and his thighs of brass, and his legs of iron, and his feet part iron and clay, and thou saw till a stone." And I heard a prophecy since I've been here that that rock, we were told this morning, is Christ.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's the stone. That's the stone that broke in pieces the kingdoms of this world.
Yes, amen.
And the last part of the 35th verse, "And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." Hallelujah. David said, "Every king of the earth is going to bow to you, Lord."
Yes, amen.
Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's not up there in heaven somewhere. That's here on this earth. The earth is the Lord's. See, the earth has forever been the habitation of angels. See, when Jacob had his dream, the angels were ascending before they descended. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
I read in the New Testament about Jesus Christ while here on earth. said he was in heaven while here on earth. A few years ago, my first wife was living. I had to go somewhere in a plane. And we went to the airport. And she said, I really hate to see you take off, you know, with storming like it is. And they had held us up for a while, and that's where we had all of the runways out. And they gave us an umbrella, and we ran out and got on the airplane. And my wife was inside praying up a storm, you know, against the storm. Oh, she said, I wish those clouds would roll back and we could see some sunshine. I'd feel better about you taking off. And we start up down the runway, and that plane pointed its nose into the heavens. In less than 2 to 3 minutes, we were piercing the clouds. And I was in the sunshine my wife was talking about that she wanted to see here on earth. We have had a dark clouds, and the church has lived in a storm age. But I got news for you. The clouds are going to break, and we're going to find glory here on earth. And we're going to find light here on earth. And we're going to find blessings here that we never thought would ever transpire at this level. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, Daniel had prayed. And in his prayer in the 9th chapter, he got concerned about Israel as a nation. National Israel. And Jerusalem to them were always the holy place. And in the captivity, Solomon's temple was even tore down. And the great columns of brass that had been cast by Hiram down at Jordan, Sea of Galilee, River Jordan, because there's no place in Jerusalem to do such a thing. He made a mold out of the mud along Jordan and cast these brass columns 58 feet high, and I forget how many feet wide. It took 20,000 men to drag each column from down by sea level up to Mount Zion, up to where the temple, rather, was built in Jerusalem. These columns, it took men, they said, 7 years to break them up into pieces to carry them into Babylon. But I read over in Revelations where these pillars are going to be restored. Hallelujah. And this time it's not going to be the pillars of Solomon's temple, but they're pillars that God's dug up out of the mud and the muck and the mire of this earth. And drug you from out of the pits of sin to the temple of his glory. And after Hiram set those temples, pillars in the temple, he began to polish them until it became bright brass. That when the sun hit it, they said it was shown 120 miles away. They could see the reflection upon those columns. That's a Pentecost, a blessing. Hallelujah. And God said, I'm going to polish you. And if you'll be an overcomer, as we sang about, I'll make you a pillar in the house of God. And you're going to reflect the glory of God. You're going to reflect what God is, not what you are. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Daniel didn't see some of the things that John saw, because he's interested only in the literalism of a natural Israel. And the Lord spoke to him in the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel and the 24th verse and said, 70 weeks. Now, let me predecess this, that these weeks became 7 year weeks. See, if you look at a large architectural drawing and you look down in the corner of the drawing, it will have like 1 inch equals 1 foot. 1/4 inch equals 1 foot. That tells you the scale that you can then figure out the rest of the drawing. And we will read here that it was 7 weeks from the decree of King Cyrus to the rebuilding of Jerusalem in the days of Nehemiah. And that happens to be 49 years, which was 7 weeks according to Daniel's vision. So these total weeks gives us 490 years of time. Now, when dear Dr. Schofield figured this out, he run these 70 weeks over to around the day of Pentecost. And when he figured it out, he had figured 69 weeks. And he had 7 years left over with he didn't know what to do with. So he goes out here and has a rapture of a church. And then he sticks the 7 years on out here and calls it a great tribulation time, where God's supposed to turn back to the Jews and save them. Now that's Schofield's figures. But when you take the calendar according to the best knowledge we have of the Jewish calendar, you find out that Daniel's 69th week ended with the baptism of Jesus Christ at River Jordan. Amen. When John steps out on the shore and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." That's going to do away with all the lambs that you've had. And this lamb, by the way, was born in a stable. Somebody said, "Why in the world did the Lord, at Christmas time, we talk about the stable? Why was he born in a stable?" I heard one old preacher say he had to be. He was a lamb. Lambs are not born in the palace. They're not born in the living room. They're born out in the stable. And the first people he notified was some shepherds. "You got a lamb over there. Go check him out." Hallelujah. See, it isn't until Jesus is baptized that heaven declares his priestly. "This day have I begotten thee to priesthood." He's king. He's priest. Hallelujah. Born a lamb. Ordained to be a king and a priest. And in his ministry as a lamb, he's put on display because it has to be a lamb without spot or blemish. And this lamb is brought in before the highest authority in the earth, in that land, in that day. And the pilot says, "I find no fault in him. He's ready for sacrifice." Hallelujah. The spotless lamb hung on Calvary. And in his death, he secured my healing, my deliverance, my salvation, my victory. Wounded for my transgressions. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by his stripes were healed. He became the scapegoat. For on him was laid the iniquity of us all. And sent, as it were, from the very presence of divinity. And he rises as a high priest with the blood. And according to the old Mosaic law, if anybody touched the high priest after he'd gone through purification, it would defile the whole sacrifice. And Mary comes to him. He says, "Touch me not. I have not yet ascended. I have not yet gone into the omnipotent, omnipresent dimension with this physical body." He goes in and comes back out and tells Thomas, "Handle me. See, I'm not a spirit." He's the lamb. He's the priest. And by the way, the cross is the golden altar of heaven. Hallelujah. That's where the lamb was put on the altar. Hallelujah. Four horns from that altar came forth. That's the four voices that God now speaks to his people in the church age. The four trumpets of God, the four horns of the altar, are synonymous. Tongues, interpretation, prophecy, an oracle ministry. Not everybody that climbs behind a sacred desk is an anointed minister of God.
Amen.
He never called anybody to sermonize. He called them to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. A true minister of the Lord is in a horrible place to be. It's not up to me to stand here and speak my philosophy. I'm here only, and I've used this term, if you can understand it, to parrot what he has given to me to say, to deliver that word. God never called the ministry as a whole. We see it in the church today to do what they're doing. Hallelujah. But there's still a ministry. It is as the oracle of God. And Peter said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. An oracle ministry. Tongues, interpretation, prophecy, oracle ministry. This is the way God speaks. I heard God speak this morning. Since I've been here, I've heard God speak. Who did he use? Vessels, like you see here. But what was coming out of these vessels was not out of their minds. It was coming out of the Spirit of the Lord that is tabernacled within them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. 70 weeks are determined upon the city, upon thy people and the holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. That came on Pentecost. That's what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. To seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Now comes your scale. Know that from the going forth of the commandment to the restoring the build of Jerusalem shall be 7 weeks. That was the 49 years. 62 weeks. 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. So in the, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. Now, many people in the futuristic interpretation of this make this the people of the Lord. But this is not the people of the Lord. This is the people that listen to the flesh realm. See, when Jesus comes into your life, he comes into your life as the Prince of Peace. He comes into your life as a prince under your authority. Believe it or not. Did you know there are people sitting right here as told the Lord when they would pray? Told him when they would go to church? Told him what they was going to do? And told the Lord, you better put your blessings on this. This is what I'm going to do and you better bless it. But he didn't come just to be under somebody else. There's a throne in your heart room that he wants to get you off of. And he wants to get on.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He wants to become king of your life, not a prince.
That's right.
Amen. See, he's the prince of peace. Or may I put it this way? He's the peace of this old prince. Amen. Hallelujah. Because, see, you're under somebody. You're either under control of the Lord, or you're under control of your flesh, or you're under control of the devil.
Amen. That's the truth.
I tell young folks, we're counseling, and I just can't hardly wait to get off of mom and dad, do my own thing. And I say, whoa. May I tell you, never in your whole life are you ever going to do your own thing.
That's right. That's right.
You're going to be a subject to somebody somewhere every moment of your life. And you might as well be subject to that which is right, not that which is wrong.
Right.
We need to be subject to somebody. Let's be subject to the Lord. Let's make him Lord. Hallelujah. See, the nations that were under Rome that gathered in Jerusalem to destroy it. This is the prince that he's talking about there. Shall come destroy the city and the sanctuary and to make an end thereof shall be of the flood and the end unto the wars of desolation that are determined. And he, Jesus, shall confirm the covenant with many for 7 years. From the time of my baptism for 7 years. For the first 7 years of the church, or from the Jesus ministry till the stoning of Stephen, he dealt only with the house of Israel. The 120 were all Israelites, Jewish, however you want to identify them.
Hebrews,
yes. Those on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 Hebrews. For the next 3.5 years, the 5,000, the daily, such as should be added, were all Hebrews.
Amen.
He came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. At Calvary, they said, crucify him. We would rather have a murderer in our land than to have a Savior. And yet his mercy and grace for 3.5 years, said they crucified him in the midst of the week. He's cut off. Not for himself, but for you, for me, for the whole world. Hallelujah. To bring salvation to us. In the midst of the week, he caused the sacrifice to end. No longer can lambs and bullocks ever be offered as a recognized sacrifice unto the Lord. The writer of the Hebrews said he entered in once and for all of us. And those who had came out of Judaism into Christianity and departed back to Judaism and went back to the temple to offer up the blood of animals and turtle doves heard the judgment cry of God, there remaineth no more sacrifice for you. It's impossible by that method to renew you to repentance, seeing you have made the blood of Jesus of none effect. Until you come back out of that mess and come back to where you belong and accept the blood of Jesus, there is no salvation for you. Hallelujah. He became the supreme one-time sacrifice for the whole world. Hallelujah. And yet, when he arose, he did not turn from them. But he continued to deal with them for 3.5 more years. And he raised up a man by the name of Stephen to be the official spokesman to the high priest. And you know the story. They gnashed upon Stephen and stoned him. They said, in essence, we did not want him as our Savior. We don't want his church. We want nothing to do with him or his church. And the Bible said, and he turned and began to take out of the Gentiles a people for his namesake. And says, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. I desert you, Israel. I turn from you. Jesus said, how oft I have gathered you together to Jerusalem as a hen would gather its brood, but you wouldn't let me do it. Hallelujah. So he turned to take out from the Gentiles, and you and I have come the inheritors. We sang about it. Hallelujah. The inheritance is ours. We inherit all things. It's ours. Hallelujah. It becomes us. See, there is no future national salvation for any nation or people on the face of the earth. If there is, then he died in vain. Every man, woman, boy, or girl can be saved But they'll be saved not because of a national background. They'll be saved because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And they repent like you were repented. Buried, being buried with Him and being filled with His Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, in the blessed lineage that passed from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob and comes on down, Paul, writing to the Galatian church, said when he said seeds, he did not say seeds many. He said seed one.
Please turn the tape over for the continuation of this message on side two.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen.
Paul says it plain. He is the only true Israelite left. And only those that have Jesus Christ as their elder brother or father is the Israel of God today. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's not by any human lineage.
Amen.
I got a nephew that traced our lineage. And he traced our lineage back to William the Conqueror over in England. And I was up in the northern part of Indiana preaching in a conference, and a man from Canada brought me a book of the Royal House of England that traced our lineage back to the House of Arimathea, back to King David. That isn't worth that much. Historical fact, that's all right. Hallelujah. That doesn't give me any rights that anybody else hasn't got. My right comes through being identified in the Beloved. Hallelujah. In Adam, you are dead. When the roll is called up yonder, He will never call your name. That blows a lot of songbook theology out of the dark. It's only one name. And the name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. How am I going to make it? Remember back in history when, what was it, the Battle of Troy or something? They built this big old wooden horse. The Trojan army, and they all climbed in that wooden horse, and that was the way they got in. Well, the only way you're going to make it, you're going to have to climb into the body of Christ. And get hid in Him. Hallelujah. It's Him I'm going to make it, praise the Lord. Being born of Him. As a member of His body, I'm going to make it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, Daniel continues, and he tells us that it's the saints of the Most High that's going to possess the kingdom. Praise the Lord. In the ninth chapter, seventh chapter, glory to God. In the 13th verse, Daniel 7:13. And I saw in the night visions and beheld one like the Son of Man who came with the clouds of heaven. Ever since I was a little kid, I kept looking for that cloud. And I'd see sometimes when the clouds had parked just right and the sun's coming through it and it was so golden. That's exactly how it's going to look like when Jesus comes. You know, most of the clouds are from very few clouds get above 50,000 feet. How many has ever seen vapor trails in the heavens? Did you know sometimes those vapor trails are made by 747s? Sometimes with 300-400 people maybe on them. And they are so high. And those planes are almost as long as I call a football field. And you can't even see the plane. You just know at the end of that vapor trail, there's a plane.
Right.
And you cannot tell whether that's a 747 or military transport plane or what it is. Yeah. And if you, standing where you are, see that, and you were to be suddenly moved 50 miles either way, you couldn't even see that being 40,000 feet, 42,000 feet in the air. And yet we have been told the story that he's going to come in a cloud that's no more than 2,000 feet, hardly off of the face of the earth. And every eye is going to behold him. Now, dear Dr. Summerall, God love his heart, said he got to figure it out. Somebody's going to have a video camera on it. Now, they don't know the moment or the second or the hour, but at this particular time, somebody accidentally happens to have a video camera tuned at the right place and going to go out all over the country, and everybody's going to see it. You know, I don't want these poor folks over in foreign countries that don't even know what, I mean, television. I said video, television. Haven't got a television set, never seen a television set. What they're going to do, they're going to flat going to miss it, aren't they? Thank God I found out one day what the clouds was. How many is part of the great cloud of witnesses? Huh? Did you know the Bible likens people unto clouds and clouds unto people? And he's coming in clouds of heaven. Hallelujah. He's coming in people. Hallelujah. And there, people are going to miss him because they're looking there and they're not looking at the right place for him. Hallelujah. He shall come in the clouds of heaven and come to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given to him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people and all nations and all languages shall serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and which shall not pass away, and his kingdom which shall not be destroyed by the United Nations, by the League of Nations, by anybody that even conceives such an idea. They're never going to destroy it. I'm sorry, but I believe the book.
Yes, amen.
Amen. You don't have to believe a word I'm saying today, but you better believe the book. Amen. If I'm not saying it right about the book, you forget what I'm saying. You believe the book. Because it's what the book says. And the Bible said we need to study show ourselves to be approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to come back and divide this to understand what he's saying. Hallelujah. 18th verse, but the saints. That's not my radio television hearing. But the Antichrist, false prophet, the beast, is going to possess the kingdom. Saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. And as I mentioned last night in opening remarks, that the law and the prophets was until John. From then on, the kingdom of God I'm talking about, not an earthly kingdom. I'm talking about God's kingdom, the eternal kingdom, not kingdom of Babylon or the kingdom of any earthly king, but the kingdom of God. John came preaching the kingdom. Jesus came preaching the kingdom. The disciples preached the kingdom. Jesus manifested the kingdom, and the disciples entered the kingdom. And the kingdom has been a hidden kingdom within our vessels.
Yes.
The kingdom of God is in you.
Amen.
But Romans said the whole creation is waiting to see a manifestation of this kingdom in a kingdom people.
Yes.
Hallelujah. As I said at the beginning, that we're so filled with him that we become like him.
Yes.
To be mistaken for him. That we become like saviors on Mount Zion that appear with him in his glory. Hallelujah. And this is what God's preparing in a people.
Amen.
Calvary's cross, Jesus' baptism set the time clock for 70 AD, the ultimate destruction of the city of Jerusalem. From Calvary to the destruction of the temple is 40 years. The Hebrews' time of God's grace in a time of judgment. Jesus spoke of this in Matthew, the 24th chapter. And the warning given to the children of the Lord, when the 15th verse of the book, 24th chapter, and when ye shall therefore see the abomination of desolation, when you see, when Jesus declares your house is left unto you desolate, get set. The full treatment of the abomination is going to take place. I'm going to finish. I'm going to loose that murderer that you wanted in the land. The armies of Rome are going to come against you. And you don't have to take my word for what I'm telling you. Go get you the writings of Josephus. It is all in there. The armies of Assyria, the armies of Egypt. It's not a future encompassing of the city of Jerusalem. That happened in 67 to 70 A.D.
Right.
They encompassed that city. And Jesus had prophesied, not one stone shall be left upon another. Not even a wailing wall. That wailing wall was built in 180 A.D. out of some of the refuge stones. And they built that much of the wall, and fire kept coming up out of the ground for some unknown reason, and they had to leave off building it. Why? Because God said there'll never be another temple built. Hallelujah. That's another message. We get to it one of these days. Thank God the Arabs got it. Let them keep it. Amen. The only holy ground God is this holy ground right here. And what makes this holy ground is the holy God that lives in it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But the time clock is set. In 60 A.D., Caesar made the ultimatum. We are finally going to get rid of every one of those that's caused the problem in the earth. And he decreed a scorch the earth policy. Burn, rape, kill, plunder, steal. Begin at one end of the country and go through the land. The greatest massacre, Holocaust, that this earth has ever known transpired between 60 and 70 A.D. I had the opportunity of going back to see the so-called city of Jerusalem a few years ago. And our guide was a pure Jewish guide. He did not know the difference. Christians was Christians, no matter what. And as we was walking along one of the streets, he said, "This is probably one of the streets your dear Savior walked. Some of these stones, probably the very stones he walked on." And I was close enough to him, I said, "Sir, could you give me an affidavit to that effect?" Well, he said, "That's what the tourists like to hear." He said, "It's probably about 30 feet below here." In other words, because why? The word of the Lord said every stone of every house and temple was thrown to the ground. And the prophet said, Jerusalem shall become a plowed field and a forest. And they literally hauled in dirt and covered the entire city of Jerusalem with dirt and planted trees. And for 100 and some years, what we call Jerusalem was a forest. The city of Jerusalem that you see over there began around 800, 900, with the, what do they call them to come out of France, the Crusaders. And most of that was rebuilt, started being rebuilt by them from 1,000 on. There's nothing over there. It was a plundered land because they said, "We would rather have a murderer than we would a Savior." And God left a murdering, destroying spirit. But in this day, he's going to destroy the destroyer. Now, he said, when you see this being set, you that have the Holy Ghost in Jerusalem, get ready to get out of where you're at. Don't even come down from the housetop. Don't go back to the field. And if you happen to have a babe, it's going to be hard on you. Bible history said prophecy came. Now is the hour to flee. And all those we read in the New Testament, nearly every one of them fled from Jerusalem. Lazarus went as far as Gaul, France. And there's still a temple over there. And Mary Magdalene, Mary and Martha, and another Mary, but not the mother of Jesus, went with Lazarus. Arimathea later came and went from there, and he went up to Glastonbury, Scotland, and established a work in Glastonbury. But all of the people of the Lord fled because they knew what was happening. Not one of the Spirit-filled people was in Jerusalem when the final, ultimate devastation took place. Hallelujah. Now, for then, in 70 A.D., 67 A.D., 60 A.D., shall be great tribulation. Right. Not 1994, not 1995. In 67 to 70 A.D., in the final destruction of Jerusalem, Josephus said the soldiers got weary of killing. Bodies were stacked 5 and 6 deep. They had to climb over bodies to kill others. The slaughter of the oncoming armies and of Jerusalem, it was terrible, but went on. And he said, there has never been anything like this since the beginning of the world to this time, and it will never, ever happen like this again. Now, that's my rendition. Whether you like that or not, read what it says that I'm trying to say as I feel the Lord is putting my spirit about it. See, the Lord spoke concerning the Mosaic law and the tabernacle, and he allowed his chosen people to die in that Holocaust. And he allowed the destruction of that temple. But he said, next time, it isn't going to happen like this. Hallelujah. This time, we are not destroyed. We are the winners.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We are not. Trouble is going to be on the old deceiver, the Jacob nature. The trouble is not going to be for the Christians. Well, we all go through hard trials, all go through tribulation. But we are not going through an international Holocaust. Back a few years ago, about time I got acquainted with Candace, and Lord let me meet a very lovely lady after my wife. I'd lived 5 years alone, and my wife and daughter was killed in a tragic car truck crash. After church, there's a restaurant where people gathered, and I was in that restaurant. I happened to meet Candace, but they were having an end-time revival at a church there in town. And they'd advertised on television and newspaper. And some of the people went to that church I knew, having met them in the restaurant, eating after church. And a fellow came in, I said, "Oh, Brother Moore, you should have been there." I said, "Oh, see, he preached on the last battle, the Battle of Armageddon." I said, "He did? Oh, yeah. Blood's going to be at the horse's bridle for 120 miles. I said, "Isn't that strange? If you took all the blood of every human on the face of the earth, it would cover about 2 or 3 inches for 64 acres. Oh, he said, "You know, in wartime, a lot of rain." I said, "The Bible don't say it's mixed with water." And I said, "Have you ever measured?" Oh, it's going to be in the Valley of Megiddo, by the way. About, what was it, 15, 20 miles, something across that great valley. And if you're going to get 120 miles, you've got to back up to the foot of Mount Carmel, come down through the Valley of Kidron, the Valley of Megiddo, another valley or two, and finally get to River Jordan, down River Jordan, down through the Red Sea, down to the wilderness of Zin to get 120 miles. And I said, tragic as it may be, as a minister, I've been on the scene where people have been tragically killed. Do you know there's very little blood that flows? It congeals in the person. I've been also on the farm where we used to wring the heads off of chickens and till we drained all the blood out of them. And I said, "You're going to have somebody over there at the Valley of Megiddo with a sharp sword to cut the people's throat, and you got to have somebody hold them by the heels to get all the blood out of them to begin with. And whoever does this is going to be wore out trying to get the whole world done that way." Amen. And I said, and beside that, I said, I hear that wine press happened at Calvary. He tread the wine press alone, and the blood came out of the wine press. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Enough was shed from Calvary's cross of the blood to cover every Adam's soul. From Adam until now, if it's necessary. Hallelujah. Praise God. For my healing, for my deliverance. It flowed out to the fertile plains, down to the wilderness, everywhere, to the desolate place, to accomplish its purpose. Praise God. A couple nights so later, same restaurant, same fellow, same revival going on. So, oh, you missed another good one tonight, Brother Moore. And I said, oh, is that right? Yeah, I said, he preached on the last battle. I said, oh, again? Yeah, I said, it's an atomic battle. I said, they're going to drop the atomic bomb and people's flesh is going to melt off their bones and their eyes are going to drop out of their eye sockets. I said, whoa, wait a minute. I said, two nights ago you bled them to death and tonight you're burning them up. Now, which way is it going to be? Are you going to bleed them to death or burn them up? He said, I don't know, but it's going to be that. It's going to be terrible. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, God's going to drop them. God's going to move by His Spirit. And what I've seen with my natural eyes, He's got to go. What I've tried to attain has got to go. If it's not of Him, nothing's going to stand. He's going to create a new heaven. Amen. And a new earth. And I'm going to have His mind. I'm going to have His life. Wherein dwelleth righteousness forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. And He's still working on the building. He'll tear it down stone by stone. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now He said, except I don't shorten those days there in 70 AD, there would be no flesh that would be saved. Dropping down a minute to the 29th verse. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light and the stars shall fall from heaven and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, let me go back to a point I brought out a little earlier. There's twofold, sometimes, appropriation of the Scriptures. Under the Old Covenant, the sun and the moon and the stars represented Israel in their fullness. Scripture in Genesis. Joseph has a dream. And he sees the sun and the moon and the stars making oblations unto him. And Jacob says, you mean me, your father, and your mother, and your brethren are going to bow down to you? Jacob, the sun, mother, the moon, his brethren, the stars. Now, in the church age, we have another son. Not only the Son of God, but He's also the S-U-N of righteousness. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the church is the moon, because the church has no light of its own. It can only reflect the light and the glory of the Lord. And we have the stars. That's the ministry. And in the dark ages, we went through the second striking. And the glory of God was lifted out of the church. The apostolic ministry fell to the earth. And the church was turned into a bloodbath. But in this particular scripture, He's talking about the tribulation that took place. And He said immediately. So He has to be talking about the relationship of Israel. And immediately after this, Israel fell from its greatness. And it has never had that greatness since then. Hallelujah. Then shall there appear the Son of Man in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with great glory, as I mentioned last night. And I look for that paper. I still think I got it among my stuff in the car. If I do, I'll bring it in. If it's possible, make copies some way, we will. That the Pentecostal message is absolutely taking over everything else. Catholics have suffered the most losses to the Holy Ghost movement. In the old line, Episcopalians, they're spirit-filled Baptists, they're spirit-filled people all over this earth of every denomination. I think it was 750 million that now have the Holy Spirit. And this does not, this was made, by the way, this census was taken in 1988, and we think that Russia has been open since then, and what God's doing in Russia and in China, I'm sure that that number is obsolete now. And they said there's at least 50,000 people being filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues every day. Hallelujah. God's moving by His Spirit. Hallelujah. God's to take over. Hallelujah. And God's coming. God's coming. He's going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. What can I expect in this age? This is the age to bring the kingdom of God into its fullness and full manifestation. And it cannot come into its full manifestation till you allow Him to be fully manifested in you. Till you dethrone you off the throne of your heart and put Him on the throne and give an ear to hear what the Spirit's saying. Hallelujah. You don't say to Him, thank you, Jesus, for the start. I'll take over now and we'll run it. I've come through that. Where God did move in signs and wonders. See, a prophecy came in our midst a few years ago. Men build canals. God creates rivers. And honey, most of what you see on television here on radio is a canal. Certain width, certain depth, the same thing. They can tell you, you know 3 months what they're going to do. Because that's what they've been doing. Huh? Spirit of God don't work that way. Right. I mean, when God's moving by Spirit, you only have two services alike. Yeah. You know, I mean, you ever see the current? It goes from this side, that side. Sometimes it's shallow, sometimes it's deep. The stream changes. And God said, I'm going to give people what's going to flow in my Spirit. And because God, when I was a youngster, we had a lady in our church who got saved. Now, that was blessed when she first testified. She stood up one night and she testified and she said, "Ooh!" She said, "The Spirit of the Lord's all over me. The very hair on my arm is just standing up." And everybody, oh, hallelujah, praise God. Sister Pearl was her name. Everybody's blessed because Sister Pearl was blessed. 20 years later, "Ooh! The Spirit of God's all over me. The very hair on my arm is just standing up." You know, we kids used to make fun of her. Here goes Sister Pearl, the hair on her arm standing up again. 20 years ago, it was probably real. 20 years later, it was Sister Pearl. And if you see mechanics that's the same and they can advertise it in the paper and tell you what they're going to do, you might as well mark it down that that's probably 99.9 plus 9% man. Hallelujah. God is a Spirit. And the Bible said, they that do know their God. What does God want? What's God saying? Let's hear Him. Let's get me out of the road. God said one time in our midst, I do not need a professional anybody. All I need is a yielded vessel. Hallelujah. I'll flow through them. Glory to God. Never try to prearrange what God's going to do. Unless He's give you a word, He's going to do it. But always be ready to accept what He's doing. This is the will of God. And walk in it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Our purpose of this age is not looking. Trouble coming, trouble's coming on the world. For it was as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man when He comes in His power and great glory. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and knew not till the flood came and took them all away. I ask you in all sincerity, who was taken? Not the saints? Not the saints? Ever since I'm a kid, We're the ones looking to be taken. Huh?
Taken and gathered together. I'd rather not be
gathered. See, we're the ones going to be taken. See, and, you know, in 1953, 54, somewhere along there, I was down at Greencastle, Indiana, and I was preaching a meeting down there, and God had just, because I came up out of real outward, rigid holiness Pentecost. And you knew they were saintly by the clothes they wore. Of course, that was the women. I don't know about the men. You know, it's always put the burden on the women, you know. Neither male nor female, but they put all the burden on the women. You know, and God was just giving us a revelation of the holiness was an inward holiness. There's nothing, none holy but God. Nothing holy about me is the holy God that lives in me.
Hallelujah.
And I was preaching, sometimes things have been backwards. And I wound up with a good old rapture message on Sunday night. We want a fellowship hall to have something to eat. And an old gentleman sitting across by the name of Brother Bowman, sitting across the table from me, he looked at me and said, "Brother Moore, could we be backwards about this, who's taken and who's left?" And I said, "Oh, Brother Bowman, we're not backwards about everything." He said, "Then how come you made an about face between these two verses?" I said, "No, I didn't know." "Yes, you did. Let's read it." And he read just like I quoted you. And he said, "Now, Brother Moore, who was taken?" Well, I looked and swallowed two or three times. he said, "Let's go over to Luke." And I went over to Luke and he said, "And took them all away." And I looked at him and I said, "Huh?" A light bulb lit in me. And on the way home, my wife is going to be the Lord. She said, "Now, you're not going to preach that kind of nonsense, are you?" I said, "I don't know, honey, but I'm sure going to do some tall reading." I said, "Boy, that's really shook my apple cart." And I went home and I said, "Lord, if this is true, there's got to be at least mouth of two or three witnesses." And so there was three of us ministers, and we decided to get together the next day. And we're going to go through the Bible. We sit down and pray and ask God, "Lord, if you're trying to tell us something, let's take the blockage out of our mind long enough we can hear what you're saying." And finally, we're going through, and I don't know how, one of the brothers said, "Hey, wait a minute. Let me read to you 13th chapter of Matthew. Going to take the tares first and burn them. Then he's going to gather the grain into the garner." One of the other brothers said, "Hey, I found something over in Thessalonians. He's coming first to take flaming vengeance on them that obey not the gospel. Then he's going to be glorified in his saints. Then he's going to be admired in all them that believe." I said, "I'm going to start preaching it." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah. Praise God. Because God is coming in a people. See, he's the one coming in the air. See, many times I've gone on a trip on a plane. And my family has come out to meet me. I come in on the plane. They don't go out the airplane to get on the plane with me and fly off somewhere else. They come to meet me who come in the air and take me back to the house where they're living. Amen. We're going to meet him who's coming. And he's coming in the clouds. Hallelujah. He's coming in us to help us.
Amen.
Now, what's in store for us? I heard my dear brother preach, "The spirits of just men made perfect."
Hallelujah.
In that heavenly realm are angels without number. The spirits of all of the just men made perfect.
Right.
Hallelujah. I believe this is what Enoch saw when he saw the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints. The spirits. That's not a rapture. That's not a catching away. He's coming with heavenly help to reinforce you and I for the battle we've got to overcome the powers of this world. Because every knee's got to bow.
Yes.
God's going to move so radically that our missionary friends are not going to be able to comprehend the sweep of His glory. People who have served idol nations, idol gods, are going to throw their idols down. And they're either going to serve God or they're going to perish from the earth. They'll either walk out of their error or die in their error. And the whole earth is to be filled with His glory. And heaven's going to be revealed in all of its glory. We've got help that's ours that we need to realize is here. You don't pray to angels. See, Jesus Christ is the only door to all of that heavenly realm. Stay out of the familiar spirit realm. Read my book over Angels Are For Real. It's there. When you were born, there was assigned unto you a personal angel. The Lord said, they're angels always before my face. You also were assigned a personal tempter. That's the one that is familiar with you. This is what all the psychics get a hold of. And this is what some ministries get a hold of. Is that familiar spirit that if you're unlearned can tell you things. That spirit, see, if when a person passes away, that tempter is then free to go be the tempter of somebody else. And that's why they can, in this regression nonsense, they just pick up that familiar, that witch psychic that's in that dimension is getting the information not from a true spirit, not from God, not from anything, but a familiar spirit. And that familiar spirit may have information about other people it tempted way back 100 years ago, but that still has nothing to do with God. And you stay out of that whole play yard.
Right.
Don't dabble in it. Hallelujah. Keep out of it.
Amen.
Forsake it. Run away from it. How do I get to the true spirit realm? Jesus said, I am the way.
Yeah.
I am the truth. I am the life. I am the door. No man even gets to the Father but by me.
Amen.
I met people that's going to the fatherhood of God. Now, they're so spiritual, they go bypass Jesus. I said, Dad, I wonder if we can't do you're doing what the Bible says you can't do. He says, you don't get to Him with me. I don't get to angels only by Him. I call on Him. I serve Him. If He wants to send me 10,000 angels, that's His business. Now, do I ask about angels? Yes, I do. When I'm traveling, I say, Lord, let your angels encamp around about me.
Yes.
Do I ask? Do I ask an angel? Not on your life. I ask the Lord.
Amen.
And I know the angel of the Lord have been there. I could stand here for the next hour and tell you of times when I know that an angel slipped their hand down between me and death and tragedy.
Yes.
God was there, hallelujah, on the scene.
Yes.
Like one man was working in a garage. He was trying to fix a part in the car and trying to pick up one that piece and move, and he put it down, trying to get into his hands, just got wore out. And he got down and he said, Lord, surely you got a spare angel somewhere around. He could just hold that in place till I get this piece put in here. He got up and picked up the piece and it went like that. He said, I don't see you, but thanks a lot for the help. Thank you, Lord, for sending it. Hallelujah. This powers are there. We need to know they're there. They're for us.
Yeah.
Ministers for those who are the heirs of salvation. But the angels have another duty. And with this, I'm closing. They have to say, holy, 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 day and night, Lord God Almighty. And unless you can replace glory, you can't lose the angels. And when you begin to say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, you lose an angel to go who are ministers for them. They can go minister where you couldn't minister and do what you couldn't do. And he said, one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000. If we get two, and he said, between two people, two or three agree and begin to say, holy, holy, holy. He creates as much holy and glory as he did on the mercy seat.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And power goes out for deliverance and help. I heard a minister say not long ago when Jesus was dead, and they put him in the tomb. They put one angel on one side at his head, another at a foot, and like two cherubims, they stretched their wings out over him and said, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, holy, holy, hallelujah. And the Bible said by the glory of God, he was raised. They created enough glory to raise that body from that grave. Hallelujah. God, when you begin to create a realm of glory, and God's raised up a people in this hour that's going to create a realm of glory, and we're going to take the kingdom. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and praise God for it. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of our God. Bless the Lord. Great is our God. Great is our faithfulness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. For the Lord saith thee, I have no other plan than that which I have declared. And there is no other way but the way that I have spoken. Yea, seek not thine own path, but seek ye the path of thy God. For behold, walk ye therein. Search ye out thyself, and search ye out my spirit, saith God, that ye might know me, that thine ears may be open, that ye may hear me speak into the depths of thy spirit, that ye may know me and know my way. For thou shalt hear the Spirit of the Lord saying unto thee, this is the way, walk ye in it. Walk no other way, neither walk after the devices of men, but walk ye in the paths of thy God, that the glory of the Most High may cover thee, that thou may abide under the shadow of the Almighty, in the secret place of the Most High. And the Lord will keep thee in all thy ways, that thy foot shall not stumble, but that the glories of God shall rise upon thee, as he hath declared it unto thee. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.